Hallelujah. Well, Mighty Woman of God was just sharing something with me. I'm going to lead off with this because I think it's so important. She asked me, she said, have I ever preached on amen? Just on amen. You know, the Bible says that amen means so be it. And not only when we pray and we prophesy, what we're doing, we're agreeing saying it's already done. But not only there, but when the word is spoken, we say amen because we come into agreement with it. And as we come into agreement, all of a sudden things start shifting and things start moving. Amen? So in other words, when the word comes forth and something ministers and speaks to your heart, say amen. I'd love to see everybody just shouting amen. Amen? Amen? Hey, we should not be afraid to say amen in church. Amen? Amen? Here we go. Is everybody ready? Amen. Amen. Okay, get your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, open, raise up your hand and we'll get you one. If anybody needs a Bible. But we're going to go in Acts 1 today, and I'm going to build a little foundation first. We're going to go where we've been just for a couple minutes. I'm not going to tarry long. But to build a foundation for where we're going and where God's taking us to. Amen? How many know that God never starts something he doesn't finish? Amen. Amen. He who has begun a good work in you is faithful to see it through to completion. Amen. In other words, no matter what God starts, he finishes. He's the author and... Can I hear a... Amen. Amen. So we started out of this, and after we came off of a 21-day fast as a body, the Lord said that this is a new season. And it's a new day. There's a fresh anointing. It's coming your way. A season of increase in prosperity. A season of the anointing flowing through you and through me. And what we started teaching and preaching on is on the anointing, the Spirit of God, understanding spiritual things. Amen? You know, the Bible says the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God. They are a foolishness to them because they're spiritually discerned. So not only do we have the Spirit, but we need to teach some spiritual things. So we started out a series of messages, and we started with the expectation, or we titled it Pentecost Junction. A junction is where two things meet. A crossroad where they were meeting between the natural and the spiritual. Amen. How many know that sometimes we get in the word and we say, let's be truthful, we say, well, I can believe God can do this, but I don't know if he can do that. Or I can take this part of the Bible, but I can't take that part. I'm not sure about that part. God wants us to have understanding. God wants us to know. God's given you and I the Holy Ghost. When we were singing that song, the Holy Spirit quickened me and said, why are you singing, come live in me? I'm already living there. In other words, why are you asking me to come live with you with your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit and I'm already in you? What we're asking him to do is, Lord, help me get out of your way. You know, the Bible says there is therefore no condemnation to those that walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. We walk in the Spirit of God when we allow the Spirit of God to flow through our hearts and lives, to have the preeminence, to have the first place. Sometimes in our lives, what we have to do is we have to say, Lord, help me to remove the clutter that I placed in that's burying you deep inside of me, because he hasn't left you. Even when you messed up, he didn't leave you. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Our flesh has just covered him up. So what he wants us to do is help us to remove the flesh so he can arise, and then that flesh will scatter. Amen? So when we were looking at that, God, the first thing he instilled in us was this. Number one, we in the Pentecost Junction, that we called it the Junction of Unction. Unction being chrisma, or the anointing. And the anointing, God wants you to know that he indwells in you. He instructs you and I. And he instills in us the truth. In other words, we already know the truth. Most of us already know the truth. We may not be living the truth, but it isn't that we don't know the truth. And what the beloved John was doing, he was reminding them, that, telling them that in 1 John chapter 2, that they already knew the truth. Amen? So if they already knew the truth, he was just reminding them that that truth is in you, and it's in you to instruct you, to teach you, to instill in you the truth. Then we talked about the Pentecost experience. And the Pentecost experience, or the Holy Ghost experience, is an experience of love. God is love. He poured out into you and I the spirit of love. The Bible says in Romans 5:5, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed upon our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. In other words, my love has conditions. God's love is unconditional. My love says, well, if you act like this, you do this, I can love you more. You know, it's kind of hard loving somebody that did you wrong. And my love is, that's where my love is weak. But that's when I have to let God's love arise. You see, in other words, he's given us the spirit of love, and the spirit of love is for us. The spirit of love is in us, is with us, and the spirit of love is within us. Amen? That spirit of love. So if God be for you, who can be against you, right? Amen? So those words and those things come that aren't in love, those things that come that bring confusion in your life, we recognize that who they come from. They don't come from God. He's not the author of confusion, but of peace in all the churches of the saints. So when he comes in the room, he brings peace in the room. He brings joy in the room. He brings love in the room. Hey, you're filled with the atmosphere of love. This is a place where love abounds, because this belongs to the Lord. This doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to him. This is his house. This is his church. We're his body. Amen? I might be the pastor, but he says, nobody glories in my presence. All glory goes to him. There's nothing I could have done or you could have done without him. Amen? So he receives all the glory and the honor. Then last week, I spoke on a little controversial subject with some on speaking in tongues. You know, the Bible says that they began to speak in tongues. It was the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. That when we speak in tongues, it was for edification. And to build you up. Not to build up others, but build you up. You know, Paul said, when he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, builds himself up. It was for our, we spoke about it for edification, for elimination, eliminating self-willed prayer. The Bible says in Romans 8:26, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities or our weaknesses when we know not what we should pray. In other words, my weakness in that sign is what to pray. But the Spirit will give me deep groanings, deep emotions inside. This time, this isn't coming out. This is within. The Spirit speaking within me. Amen? With groanings, he's speaking to my heart and he's speaking to my life. Then he says, for elevation. You know, when I pray in tongues, I'm praying for the elevate. The Bible says in Jude, verse number 20. But beloved, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So when I pray in the Spirit, I'm building myself up. But we have the Holy Ghost expectation. We have the Holy Ghost experience. We have the Holy Ghost expression. But the most important part, the reason the Holy Ghost was given, was for explosion. My tongue talking don't change this world. Hello? That isn't what's going to change the world. When we open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, that's when the world changes. So let's go in Acts chapter 1, if you're there. I'm not there. I have to get there. I'm going to speak to you chapter 1, verse number 4. You know, the Word of God says in Acts 4:33, if you're taking notes, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. This power that I'm speaking about, this explosion, comes from the Greek word dunamis, which means miraculous power working within you and I. You know, it's miraculous power. Sometimes I couldn't do this, but now through him I can do it. Because I can do what? Through Christ. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. A lot of times when I'm trying to do it on my strength and my ability, it doesn't work. That's what we have to allow ourselves to be a vessel to be used for his glory. So in Acts chapter 1, verse number 4, the word of God says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel, to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth." The title of this morning's message is Pentecost Explosion. And what we're talking about today is kingdom expansion, expanding the kingdom of God. The 3 points I want to share with you, it starts here, then it goes there, and then it'll end up everywhere. Here, there, and everywhere. Okay? So can we lift our word together and make a declaration in the house today together? Why do you do this, Pastor? Because we're coming together in the unity of faith. We're standing in agreement as a body. So can we lift the word together and make this declaration? Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, speak to me, your servant. I'm listening in Jesus' name. Father, we're so grateful for your word, and we're so grateful that you sent your word to the house today to accomplish what you sent it here to do. Father, I pray that you speak through me today, speak to this congregation. Father God, may the words that proceed out of my mouth bring edification to the body, exhortation and comfort to the hearers. Father God, if there's any that are here that do not know you, may this be the day of their salvation. If they drifted away, may this be the day of their return. And for the entire body of believers, Father God, may we be quickened, may we be strengthened, may we be energized by the preaching and teaching of your word, because your word declares faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And as your word goes forth today, faith will increase in this house. And we thank you for this, and we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. So be it, right? Amen. You know what the Lord first is speaking to my heart about? When he was talking about, you know, that when Jesus said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem. The Holy Ghost is given for what reason? So that we may be witnesses. Where did he start? Where did it start? It started right where he was. It started in the heart of Judea. It started in Jerusalem. Amen? And so when Jesus began, Jesus is, we're to follow Jesus, right? I'm a follower of Jesus, and he showed us in the word how it would go out, even before the apostles went out. The apostles did the same thing, but Jesus began. He's the fulfillment of all prophecy. So when Jesus came and he gave them the word as he tarried there, we find that when that day of Pentecost came, they were all filled and began. Amen? So in Acts, I want to take you first to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. Our Jerusalem is Harrisonburg, the Shenandoah Valley, the surrounding area here. Amen? You know, when I look out, there's the Ezekiel here. He was caught up in the spirit, so he's seeing a vision. He's seeing a spiritual thing. How many know that God wants to show you some things in the spirit? Amen. So many times things look bigger than they are, and we have to see it through God's eyes and not our own eyes. Amen. And the prophet says here in verse 1, he says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry, or they were very dead. How many know in Harrisburg in the Shenandoah Valley, there's a lot of dead bones? I'm talking about spiritual. I'm talking about people that do not know Jesus. He is the way, he's the truth, and he's the life, and no one can come to the Father by him. They're dead men walking without Jesus. Amen? So if you look out the window, you can look out that window that way, you can look out that window that way, and wherever you look, you may see some light, but also in the midst of life, there's a lot of dead bones. There's a lot of lifeless bones, because Jesus said, all souls are mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Amen? So as that word's going forth, he's saying to us, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to look out and we're going to see this valley. That's where it starts. Our Jerusalem, our Judea, is Harrisburg in the Shenandoah Valley. Are you with me? So Jesus posed him a question. Now, God posed him a question in the spirit. He asked him a simple question. He said, can these bones live? How many times, be honest, how many times have you had a loved one, a family member, which you looked at them and you spoke and you said, well, there ain't no hope for them. Hello? They were very dry. They were very dead. But God says when he comes into the room, things change. What did God tell him to do? Prophesy over those bones. If life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love and eat the fruit thereof, we need to prophesy life in this valley. Amen? In other words, when that word goes out, amen, there's life and death in our words. All of a sudden, we spoke to our children and maybe even our grandchildren, and we said wrong things to them that they wouldn't amount to nothing, or they would never accomplish nothing, or they would never do nothing. We're speaking death in their life. You know, if we're bearers of life and bearers of life, we got to speak some good things. Amen? If I believe in God and his word, and he says, my generations, my children will be saved through the second, third, and fourth generation, I believe in God and what it says. All the promises of God are what? Yes and what? Say amen. I'm going somewhere. Bear with me. Look with me in Romans chapter 4. Romans 4. How many know that we're the seed of Abraham? We were just talking about our blessing, were we not? Were we not talking about the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that roll down and flow down to you and I? Amen? Amen? I've been grafted into the family of God. I walk in the blessing. Amen? So in Romans 4:17, here's what the Apostle Paul writes. He says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead or maketh alive, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, as he was about 100 years old, in the deadness of Sarah's womb, she was 90. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Amen? So if all the promises of God are yes, amen, he's speaking to you and I to prophesy to the valley, to call dead bones alive. He's keeping us calling those things that aren't as though they were. Amen. And just as Abraham. Abraham was 100. He couldn't look at his age. Sarah was 90. But they were going to have a baby, right? So no matter what the doctor said, no matter what the psychiatrist has said, no matter what the social worker has said, God says. God said he's able to do that what he said he would do. He's able to perform it. He's able to complete it. He's able to finish it. He's able to accomplish it. You know, so when I'm looking at that, all of a sudden I've got to get it in my heart and my life as it's a done deal. You know, the Bible says without vision, the people perish. If you can't catch a vision in it for it, you're not going to speak life to it. The Bible says that we walk by faith, not by sight. See, Abraham's faith was counted unto him as righteousness. Said, Lord, you said it, I'm going to get to it. Amen? In other words, all God is saying is, God said it. If God said it, he meant it. If he meant it, we got to receive it. Receive it, we got to do it. Amen? So he is able to do everything he said he would do. Amen? Go back to Ezekiel chapter 37 again. When I get loud, I'm not yelling at you. I just get loud, okay? Amen? We say, Pastor, why you get loud? Well, I know quite a few people would hear that can't hear. Hallelujah. Huh? I know so many have selective hearing. Hey, you know something? Wait a minute. The Holy Spirit just said something. You know something? For the child of God, you should have selective hearing. I don't know where that came from. It just came. Selective hearing is hearing that aligns with God's word. And believing God is if it doesn't align with God's word, don't hear it. Hello? So as children of God, we can have selective hearing. If somebody comes in and they speak things that aren't building you up, they're tearing you down, I can have selective hearing. I do like my kids used to, can't hear you. I think that's how we got to start acting with the devil, right? Natty, natty, doo-doo, can't hear you. I'm not going to listen to that. Amen? If you ain't bringing life in my life, and you ain't building me up or building my family up, I don't need to listen to your negativity. How many know that we become an element of what we surround ourselves with? You know, if you hang around with negative people, you're going to have a negative attitude. Amen? But God gave us everything that we need. Amen. We can keep and maintain a positive attitude. We shared the other night, and I shared on Thursday night. My wife and I, we made a decision this week. We made a pact together. We came in agreement, didn't we, honey? That we're going to be cheerful in everything we do. No matter what anybody, our cheer isn't determined, or our happiness isn't determined by what anybody else does. Our happiness is determined what God has done for us. Amen. So I'm not going to look at, see, the adversary always wants me to look at what's wrong, what's missing. But God wants me to see what's here and what's right. Amen. Praise God. That's what God wants you to see. Amen. That you're a chosen generation, you're a royal priesthood, you're a holy nation, you're a peculiar people. Amen. Amen. That he's gifted you, that you're blessed. And every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father above, in whom there's neither variableness, neither shadow of turning. Amen? He got some good things for us. But in Ezekiel 37, verse 13, the Word of God says, you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And shall place you in your own land, and you shall know that I the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. He who has said it can do it, right? He is able to do what he said he would do. Amen? What are we talking about? But you shall receive power, dunamis, miraculous power to be a witness. Well, what's a witness? Well, if I went to court, you know, and let's say if it was in a court for a trial, there's different types of witnesses. There's eyewitnesses. Have you not seen with your eyes what God has done? Amen? There's material witnesses. Has God not blessed you? Has he not seen to you? Has my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus? How about his character witness? How about the love of God? I don't know about you, but every time I've messed up, every time I've fallen short, he just comes to me in perfect love. He comes to me gently, softly. Amen? And you know what he does? He just asks me these simple little questions. And they're questions that it doesn't take a rocket scientist to answer. Amen? But he just ministers in love. Amen? We serve a loving God. He isn't critical. He isn't condemning. You know, what did you say? One of Bill's favorite scriptures is goodness, the goodness of God draws and leads men to repentance. God's goodness. Man, we ought to be people that tell everybody how good God is. How many have been blessed by God? So let's give him a blessing back. Say thank you. He said, it's okay, I'm not hard here, and I'm looking at your heart. Even though you didn't open your mouth, I still see your heart. Pastor wants to hear your mouth. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God, he looks at the heart, right? Amen. Amen. I want you to understand something. It's a joy to serve the Lord. It's a joy to serve the Lord. It's a joy to lead people to Jesus. It's a joy to watch people's life be transformed before your very eye. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power, it's the dunamis of God. Amen? It's the power of God unto salvation. To the Jew first and then to the Gentile. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. It's kind of amazing. I've been with people and all of a sudden I started talking to them. And I used to say this down inside when I was witnessing, oh, there's no chance of them giving a heart to Jesus. Oh, man, look what they're looking. Look at what they're looking. Look at their eyes. Oh, my goodness. Look at them. Oh, my goodness. And all of a sudden, I start sharing the gospel. And in the middle of the gospel, I see their hearts start transforming right before my eyes. I see God doing a work in their hearts and lives by the power of God and by the power of his word. Amen. And all of a sudden, he moves on their hearts and lives. Amen? In other words, I want you to get a hold of, if you get a hold of nothing else, these men that Jesus used to allow his spirit to work through to win 1,000 souls, 3,000 souls in a day and add to the church daily as such should be saved, were a bunch of misfits. They denied him. They slept while you wanted them to watch. They wouldn't even pray with them. Amen? You know, they forsaked him and ran back to their houses. And all of them was the very ones that God chose to use. Because it shows him working through them and not them. In other words, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, God just wants to use you as a vessel for his glory and his honor. Amen? It's not about you. It's about Christ in you. It's not about me. It's about the Christ in me. Amen? So as that wave starts coming out, and it's amazing all of a sudden as you start ministering and searching the words, the Lord's going to transform your life. I'm not here to tell anybody what's wrong with your life. You already know everything that's wrong. I'm here to tell you about what's right with God. Amen? Amen? You know, we all fall short. You know, the Bible says all come short of the sin and come short of the glory of God. That word all didn't say just a few. It said all of us do in one way or another. Amen? Amen? You know, and I was almost getting into a message next week. I better get back on track. But he went out to, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem and Judea. And Jerusalem, Judea is here. You know, we can't take something out that we don't have here. You know, for there to be an explosion, there has to be a detonation. Right? Come on, explosive guy. mixing all your powders together. He was showing me in Wednesday night, it was mixing it together. It had a big explosion. And that's what happens. You know, we can't take it out there until we get it in here. Amen? So God wants to do something in the house today. Amen? Amen? He wants to do something in this place today, and he's setting you up, or setting me up by the word. Now, when I'm talking about being set up by God, let me expound there a little bit. When I'm talking about be setting up for God, be set up for my benefit and for His. Not be set up for my hurt or my demise, but to be set up for my benefit. Amen? You know, everything that God allows to take place in our hearts and lives are for our benefit. Amen? That we're to benefit through everything we go through. And if we keep our eyes on the prize, we don't get caught up in looking around. We keep our eyes on Him. So first off, here's Jesus. He's in Jerusalem. He talks about going to Jerusalem. When Jesus left Jerusalem, Jesus was heading to Galilee. But before Jesus could get to Galilee, He had to go through Samaria. Amen? Samaria wasn't the favorites of the Jews. Matter of fact, the Jews considered him almost like dogs. And here's Jesus. And turn with me to John chapter 4 a moment. John chapter 4. We find Jesus is tired and he's at the well of Samaria. He's sitting there resting. I'm going to paraphrase just for time. And there's a woman that comes and she has her rope and her bucket to draw water. And Jesus asked her to give him a drink. Give him a drink. And she says, "What are you talking to me for? Jews don't have anything to do with us." And Jesus all of a sudden made a statement. "If you knew the water that I had to give, you'd ask me for a drink." And she's looking at him and said, "Well, the water that you have to give, well, you don't even have a bucket or a rope to get down to the water." Remember, the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him because they're spiritually discerned. Jesus was speaking about spiritual water, not natural water. And all of a sudden, in chapter 4, verse number 14, Jesus said, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." In other words, here's the woman. She's looking at Jesus, not having the natural and not seeing the spiritual. But God wants us to also see something in the spiritual that we can apply in the natural. The woman had a bucket and a rope to let the bucket down into the well to draw water. You and I are the bucket. He is the well of living water. The Bible says that no one comes to the Father but by the Son, and no one comes to the Son unless the Father draws them. The rope, the draw, is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is constantly drawing people to God. Drawing him. And we as the bucket are carrying the living water to pour out onto lifeless souls. Amen? Then Jesus, then she said, "Give me the drink. Well, I'll take some of that water." And Jesus said, "Well, go get your husband." And she said, "Well, I'm not married." Jesus said, "Well, you said that right. You've been married 5 times. And the one you're with now, you're not married to." What Jesus was doing is he was giving a word of knowledge, a spiritual, to put a desire for that water. He was not condemning that woman. He was not condemning that water because he came to bring life. He wasn't condemning that lady. He came to bring life. He said, "Go get them, bring them." And what did she do? She went back to the sidecar. And all of a sudden she started telling everybody she met a man that knew everything. And all of a sudden all the people started coming to the well out of Samaria. And the Bible says in John chapter 4, Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did. Now, I'm sure she did a little more than that, but that was a pretty deep revelation. In other words, immediately after she had an encounter with Jesus, listen to me, immediately she became a witness. She became a witness. She went to tell others about what Jesus had done. And all of a sudden, there's a revival. Amen? I don't know about you, but God's done a lot for me. Amen? What did the word say? We overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. That everyone in the room has a testimony. And you know what? Some think that, well, my testimony isn't that great. Yes, it is. You were dead, now you're alive. You were lost, but now you're found. You were blind, but now you see. Amen. Your words, your testimony is powerful. Your testimony is powerful. What the testimony does, it gives a thirst for the word. The testimony doesn't save. It's the power of gospel that saves. But the testimony gives thirst. Another makes the palate thirsty. Amen. And all of a sudden, when you're sharing Jesus, you know, a lot of times I just begin with the word of a testimony. I don't go into long details. I do an abbreviated measure because I make it more about him and less about me. Amen? It's about what he has done. It's not about what I did. Because you know what? I couldn't do anything without him. And what Jesus said, but you shall receive power after that Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses here, Jerusalem and Judea, there, Samaria, and everywhere, the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen? In other words, if you were to detonate something, Jonathan, my pyro guy, if you were to detonate something and there was an explosion, what does it do? It moves out, unless it's an atomic bomb, and then that moves in. You know, but an explosion moves out. And that's what he is saying, that news of the gospel went out like a vibration, like a sound wave going out, and people were carrying the good news of the gospel. Amen? He says, in Romans 10, he says, how shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? How beautiful are the mountains at the feet of him that publish the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Amen. It takes the vessels, open their mouths, making known the mysteries of the gospel. Amen. You know something? You really spoke to my heart when you said that a little while ago. And I just feel like when I'm speaking that I shouldn't even move on until I hear amen. Because if we didn't understand it, we didn't get it, we shouldn't move on, right? If your belly's growling, say it now, I'm just kidding. Then it goes to the othermost parts of the earth. You know what he was showing me? What he was showing me there? After Jesus left this well of Samaria, he's going through. What he's going to do? He's going to cross over the Sea of Galilee. He's going to end up where? In Gadara. And there was a demoniac there. We recognize him as the demoniac of the Gadarenes. Amen? And what did Jesus do? Jesus spoke the word. Spoke with power. That power comes from the Greek word exousia, which means authority. Jesus took authority over the demons that had a hold of that man of the Gadarenes. And the Bible says he was clothed and he was in his right mind. All of a sudden he was clothed with a robe of righteousness and he had the mind of Christ. How many in here were a little crazy before the Lord met you? it can get a little crazy for Jesus. Come on now. I was rowdy. I want to be rowdier for Jesus. Amen? Because you know what? I was like that demoniac. I was probably foaming out of the mouth. I was probably scary to look at. Amen? I was doing all kinds of crazy things. But when Jesus came into the room, what happened, honey? I was clothed and I was in. That's still a work in progress, but I was in my right mind. Amen? That's the power of God. That's the power of God. Jesus said, all power has been given to me in heaven and earth. Matthew 28, 18. Now go you therefore. There's a transfer of power. There's a transfer of authority. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all these things that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you even to the end of the world. Amen. In other words, when I was looking at that, he reminded me when I was looking about when Jesus transferred the exousia, when he transferred the authority to you and I, it was like he brought me the remembrance that that Roman centurion in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 through 13. Matthew 8, 5 through 13. The Roman centurion came to Jesus. His servant was sick with the palsy. The palsy was a paralytic disease. His servant could not get out of bed. And this Roman centurion asked Jesus, would you heal my servant? And Jesus said, yes, I will come and heal your servant. And the Roman centurion said this. He said, I'm a man of authority. When I tell my soldiers to go, they go. When I tell them to come, they come. When I ask them to do this, they do this. And I recognize you as a man of authority. All you have to do is give the word, and I believe my servant will be healed. Jesus looked at his disciples. He said, I have not seen such great faith, no, not in all of Israel. And the Bible says, in the self same hour, his servant was healed. This is exousia. Not only did God give you and I dunamis power by the empowering of the Holy Spirit, but he gave us exousia. He gave us authority in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, every name that is named must bow to the name of Jesus. Amen. In other words, when I'm coming in, I'm going to we're going to take authority over some things. If I'm a person of authority, I can take authority over it. Amen. The Bible says in Matthew 24, 14, the gospel of this kingdom shall be preached as a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. It isn't over till it is over, right? Jesus said in Matthew 16, he said this, 15, he said, go ye and preach the gospel. To every creature. Preach means to caress, someone that carries and announces good news. Carasso. He says, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. In my name you shall cast out devils. You shall speak with new tongues. If you drink any deadly thing, it will not harm you. You can lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Because signs and wonders will follow them that believe. Amen. In other words, God wants us to understand that he gave us the Spirit of God to be a witness to a lost and dying world. Amen? We said this earlier. I shared this. There was a man who was walking on the beach. He's walking on the beach one day, and you know, up ahead, it was just daybreak. There was a boy, and he kept throwing something in the water. And when he got up close to the young boy, he said, lad, what are you doing? He said, I'm throwing these starfish back in the ocean. He said, when the sun comes up, they'll die. And the man said, well, your effort's going to be worthless because there's miles of beach and there's millions of those starfish. What is that going to benefit? And the little boy looked at the one that was in his hand, and he threw it in the ocean, and he said, it made a difference with that one. And what the Lord spoke to me then is he said, and I'm going to put it on the marquee. It's going to be in the marquee next week. Let's build the kingdom of heaven one soul at a time. One soul at a time. We don't have to look at the vast numbers. Got to bring that one soul at a time. One soul at a time. Amen? You know, that's all God's asking you and I to do. All God's saying to you and I, will you trust him to speak through you? need some Holy Ghost boldness. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I don't talk very much. You know what? That's just who God wants to use. Then it's all about Him, right? So if it's going to start, it's got to start here. In Revelation 14:6, it says, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people." You know where a move of God's going to start? Right here. I can't do anything about what's happening over across town. I can't do anything that's happening across the world. Only thing that I have in control of right now is what I do for the kingdom of God. The only thing that I have is what, Lord, what have you put in my hands to do? Amen? Can we prophesy to this valley? Can we call this valley forth in the name of Jesus in closing today? You know, it's got to begin here. Amen? It's got to begin here. It's got to begin here. You know where it starts? Right here. Right here. It starts right here. And it starts with you and I saying, "Hey, I can't do it on my own strength. But the Word of God says, His strength is made perfect in my weakness." It's when I can't, through Him, I can. Amen? And if you're looking at the radio and you're watching the TV and you're watching the news and you don't believe that the end is coming soon, I believe God's going to, there's a great revival of souls that's coming from the kingdom of God. And you know what? I believe there's many Muslims that are going to come to Jesus. They belong to His child. There was a division between two brothers with Sarah. All right? Because he tried to do it on men's strength instead of God's strength. And there came a tribe of Ishmael, which the Muslim nation came out of. And God's going to call all nations, kindreds, and tongues. I don't agree with anything they're doing. It's darkness. There's a lot of darkness in this world, but we serve a God of light. And a God of light, a God that He says that for you and I to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and give the Father in heaven all the glory. Amen. You know the first thing that comes to people's minds? Man, you don't know, the Muslims are a hater of God. Well, you know what you were when you were serving the devil? You were the same thing. You were the same thing. The Bible says my righteousness was like filthy rags. And just as Jesus put His robe of righteousness around you and I, He can do the same for them. Amen. Amen. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. You know what? That isn't popular preaching. That isn't popular preaching. But it's God's Word. It's God's Word. The Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, like some men count slackness, but He is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Amen. Where does it start? It starts here, it goes there, and it ends up everywhere. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, we're so grateful for Your Word. And we're grateful that You sent Your Word in the house today to accomplish what You sent it to do. First, Lord, in the closing moments of the service, if you're here today and